to take it away, or do you want to let me just do what I do?
I don't know. Are we even going to have a formal intro? Welcome to Legend Lore, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition. That all just did.
That's fun. All right, let's do it. Let's see if I can do it from memory.
Oh, boy, yes. Okay.
Welcome to Legend Lore, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
I'm Luis, and I'm a developer for Paizo working on the Pathfinder Lost Omens lines. I've been playing RPGs for almost 15 years, and I've written for dozens of Pathfinder products. I also write the Monsters Physique blog and GM Valiant here on the No Direction Network.
And I'm Lauren, and you can watch me play in The Adventurous and... I lost it. And tonight, we're talking about the hellish nightmare that I am putting Luis through of planning a one-shot in, like, no time flat. And this will be session zero. So buckle up, kiddos, because here we go.
Before we get to all of that, let's talk about who is here to join us, Lauren. Let's go here. I'm just going to go in clockwise order on my screen, starting with Ryan Costello. Ryan, hello. Introduce yourself to us. Tell us who you are.
Hi, Luis. I am the Director of Logistics at the No Direction Network. People probably know me most from the No Direction podcast. I'm one of the hosts, along with Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Param. And I wasn't even supposed to be here today, but you know what? I'm here. I had so much fun in the pre-show that I'm excited to see what all characters, these characters come up with.
Great. I guess next up would be Eleanor. Hello.
Hello. My name is Eleanor. I am an actor, model, musician. You can follow me at Ellie Langthorne. I'm also in a band. My band is called Vices Inc. So you should totally check us out. I have no experience with role-playing games. I guess like next to no experience, we'll say. So I'm pretty excited to see where this journey takes me.
I'm going to say real quick, when I am bringing players into Pathfinder, when I'm teaching them role-playing games, I prefer to have players that know absolutely nothing about the game. Not a damn thing. Right. I find that they come in, Stan, you don't count. You're great. We're happy to have you here.
It's nice seeing you. I'll be ahead.
No, we're happy to have you. But I find that you don't count because you know enough that you get over a lot of the problems that I think new players avoid. A lot of players who have played a little bit from maybe one group, but it wasn't their thing. They've picked up some bad habits, you know? And I feel like when you have somebody who's brand new, you can teach them how to have fun the right way.
Lauren wants to mold all of you into the ideal player. Hey, Meg, you're next. Hello.
Oh, God. Hi. So I'm actually from Montreal, Canada, so I have a little bit of an accent. So sorry if I pronounce such a Canadian answer. I apologize for mispronouncing stuff. I'm actually an ER nurse, and I work in the Great North, so very cold, very icy. And on off times, I plan or stream RPG games. I've started very recently, so my experience is incredibly limited, but yeah, essentially that's me. And I love dice and rolling them, and I brought them up to the grade of. Yeah, I have my little like boxy thing.
You've already got a fancy set of dice too.
Wow, yeah. Look at those.
I love it. Now, Ryan, do you want to introduce Brian a bit for us?
What about Stan?
Yeah, we should get, yes.
Oh, best for last, obviously. I didn't forget Stan.
Yeah.
Well, Lauren, yes, of course. Definitely not least here, but last here for the moment. Hello, Stan. Hi.
Hi, I'm Stan. I just heard of these role-playing things, and I walked in off the street.
I don't know what's going on here. It was the cheeseburgers that brought you in, wasn't it?
It was. Oh, burgers. You'd get me to do anything with burgers. No, I'm Stan. I've been gaming very, very long time. I first started gaming with first edition D&D back in the late 70s. I also been professionally involved as a designer and editor for TSR and Wizards of the Coast and lots of other things. I'm also a cartoonist and a novelist, so I do lots of different things. But gaming has been the bulk of my professional life and my fun life for the last 40 years. Holy crap.
Now, this is why it's so fun to have you on the show. Between Luis and I, we've maybe been doing this for 35 or 40 years. You have more experience than us combined.
Yeah, but I've picked up a lot of bad habits.
I'm also, I'm interested to see what some of your good habits are, because I'm sure you have something to offer our listeners at home.
I'll try my best.
Ryan, I really want a bio for Brian.
Brian Stiltz, formerly known as Reaper Brian, led Reaper Miniatures to several million-dollar Kickstarters and kicked off the Bones line. He has since moved on to, I forget where he's working now, but yeah, he's someone that's been a key figure in the gaming industry for a long time. He's guested on several podcasts. He had his own podcast dedicated to Margaret Weiss's Marvel Superheroics role-playing game for a while, but he has not played Pathfinder 2nd Edition, and so this was his first opportunity to get into the new edition of the game.
And hopefully we'll get Brian in when we actually play the one shot that we're going to be discussing here tonight. The whole big deal that we're doing here is a spin-off of a mini-series of our show where we introduce Pathfinder 2nd Edition and role-playing games in general to new players. And we decided, hey, maybe it would be fun to get in people who have less experience with Pathfinder 2nd Edition or even role-playing games as a whole, and push them into the deep end and say, you get to play for a whole full session with us. So that's what we're doing here today. I think everyone has a varying amount of experience with Pathfinder 2nd Edition. It just so happens to be that most of it is on the lower end where people have no experience here. But luckily, you have two people who are willing to guide you through Pathfinder 2nd Edition, Lauren and I. And then Lauren, of course, was so kind to volunteer me as a GM for this whole thing. So I get to run the whole thing while Lauren just gets to sit back and play along.
I know my strengths. I'm a pretty decent GM, but I don't hold a candle to Luis.
I do this all the time. No one else ever wants to run games for me, so I guess I'm always GMing, and that's fine. I actually enjoy
also
it a
that
lot. I enjoy it a lot, and I mean, I like it so much I ended up working for the company that makes Pathfinder because I wanted to do it for a living. So if anyone knows Pathfinder 2nd Edition here, I guess it would have to be me to become the true expert and lead you all into it. Ryan has played a bit of Pathfinder 2nd Edition. I don't think you've sat for like a full dedicated campaign like you would have for 1st Edition or 3.5.
I have not.
But you seem to always be around in my one-shots for the No Direction Network. So it must be fated. Lauren has been running and playing Pathfinder 2nd Edition for a bit, but you have a lot of experience with 3.5 and other games. And I know Stan has much more experience with lots of other games, but nothing with Pathfinder 2nd.
He literally wrote a book.
Yeah.
A few of them.
A couple of them.
Yeah. No Pathfinder 2nd Edition experience.
Stan, have you... A lot of 1st Edition.
Have you looked into the rules at all? Or are we going in completely fresh?
I take it back. I think I played half a session of a 2nd Edition game where someone else had taken a concept I'd done and fleshed it out as a character break. So I haven't made a 2nd Edition character.
Pathfinder rules always have you round down, so we're going to say you have zero experience with Pathfinder 2nd Edition. Meg, you've mentioned that you have a little bit of 5th edition experience, 5th edition D&D experience. You have some role-playing experience. You actually played a game of Pathfinder at the start of your career, we'll say.
I understood nothing.
And Ryan, I think, managed to get together with you and help talk about a character and maybe get that all on paper already. And then Eleanor, we're so happy to have you on board with that very little, I think you it was mentioned you had like a dabbling in like one session.
Yes. Yeah. It was Weeby Goblins, mm-hmm. right? Weeby Goblins Free, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't even the first Weeby Goblin. We threw you into one of the sequels.
I got to be Rita, which was very
Rita
fun.
Big Bad. Love
Rita,
it.
Yeah, oh. Rita.
Luis, I can tell this one's going to be good.
What experience do you have? Have you listened to any like actual role-playing shows like Critical Role or Adventure Zone or something or anything like that?
I listened to the first few episodes of your podcast for this season. So, no.
Okay, so you don't have much in terms of like hearing people play the game and knowing how that flows or anything like that.
Not really, no. Okay.
And we had that quick one with between you and me, Luis.
Yeah,
that's
about
it. That was cool.
That's about that it. All right, well, that's fine. I know kind of where how much of a guideline to try to work with and stuff, and hopefully we can get you to a spot where you're all excited for your characters and willing to play. I'm not expecting you at all to know the rules. I work for the game company and I write some of the books, you know, directly and work on them directly, and I don't know all the rules. I know the people that work and made the rule books, and they don't know all the rules, so don't expect at all to know the rules. At best, I think the easiest expectation might be to just know who your character is and what you think you would want your character to do and things like that. And then from there, I can tell you what rules we can use to kind of work towards that. Or if there isn't a rule, then I get to make stuff up on the fly. And that's kind of half of the fun of being a GM, is rolling with the punches and figuring out what's going on in the story and how to keep everything moving forward.
I agree. My favorite way to start a game is with brand new players who don't know a single rule, but it's session one and it's time to roll for initiative. Those are so much fun.
So what we're doing today is what a lot of people call session zero. We're doing kind of a gathering where we discuss kind of the expectations of the game, maybe figure out character ideas. My expectation here is to maybe we'll figure out character ideas, maybe how the party comes together, and set forth possibly the expectations for the one-shot adventure. And then we can talk off mic. I can help you, and Ryan can help you, and Lauren can help you as we can to get your character built together and get you all up and running. So next time we meet, you have a character and we get to roll dice and play the game and have fun. But I find that just talking out character ideas and figuring out the basics of the story and what's to come in the session can be just as fun or exciting as actually sitting down and rolling. I know plenty of people just sit and make characters over and over and just kind of have fun doing that aspect.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. Whether it's because they like coming up with new stories from new characters, or because they like how the game kind of flows, and then putting together a character is kind of its own satisfying thing.
What level is this adventure going to be?
We're going to do first level. I know Lauren suggests that we usually try to start at level 2 because Pathfinder 2nd edition can be kind of rough at first level, but I'm the GM, and I get to say no, Lauren.
I wasn't going to argue on camera, but I definitely think every Pathfinder game needs to start level 2.
I'm going to take
the difficulty and the dedication feats. Shit. You get access to them.
I'm going to take advantage of as many opportunities as I can to say no to Lauren before we actually start playing. Because once we're playing, I prefer to kind of roll with everything that's going on and doing stuff. So the big reason is, one, to kind of lessen the load of having to build a character. You both have to figure out how to make a character in the first place, and then how to level them up, and then maybe add in all this other stuff. Just keep it at first level. And then also to show that there's ways that you can run a first level adventure that doesn't kill players right away. I guess this is also a personal test of, can I run a first level adventure that doesn't kill you all right away?
This game I GM'd, Pathfinder 2nd Edition, I absolutely slaughtered the whole party. And I was not trying to do it. I was disheartened that I was commencing wholesale murder. But, you know, the dice do what the dice do. I'm sorry that this is what's happening, but...
It's not my fault. It's the dice. Yeah.
It really is.
If only there was a screen that hid the dice from the players so that you could just change the results for the benefit of everyone's fun.
I don't use GM screens. I don't use them.
Oh, all right.
That sounds like cheating, Ryan. Are you suggesting I cheat for everyone to have a good time? I believe
there's a rule in the game that says one player at the table is allowed to cheat.
Here we are, 2 years later. We've learned a lot more about the game. This was a long time ago, and we now know that a lot of smaller enemies of the same difficulty level is not the same difficulty level as one monster, you know? Yeah. We're now learning that.
Throwing one troll compared to like 8 goblins is a huge difference, even though the rules say that they should be about the same.
And so, we're learning that now.
Yeah. Before we get into any of that, do any of you have any character ideas that you wanted to play before I even tell you anything about the setting or anything like that. You know, maybe you came in like, I wanted to make a cool thief, or, you know, someone who's a brave warrior that fights with a sword and shield. If you have anything, let me know now, and maybe we can even start working towards that as we get the rest of this thing sorted out.
Yeah, I kind of already know what I want.
Yeah, great, that's fine.
So bad. I love how happy she is about it. I know what I want.
Today is like my one day off in the month. And do you know how excited I am to be spending it rolling dice and talking nerdy stuff?
I hope as excited as we are to have you here.
I'm really happy right now. Anyway, okay. So I actually, because I love playing characters that have like something that is contradictory, or that is kind of like they have something, but it's flawed. So I was thinking about doing a female orc barbarian who was a gladiator, but who was also like super socially anxious.
Great.
So like whenever there's someone, she's kind of like, yeah, okay, all right. And she's kind of like hiding behind her hair, or like she doesn't like talking to people. She doesn't like to have the spotlight, ironically, but she comes from a family line of gladiators. So she's been brought up to it. So she has like a bird that's, you know, kind of like a safety blanket sort of thing. And she loves animals. She's a big softy. And she goes into rages to kind of like not see the people anymore because she's too socially anxious.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Orcs are allowed to be sensitive. You know, it's kind of, it's insensitive to think they can't be.
Yeah.
I love that take on raging too.
Yeah. Oh, get away from me. Like that.
Anyone else have a character idea before we started with anything else?
So I was thinking, so I have a real tendency, anyone that games with me knows, to play small rogues.
Yeah.
The halfling and gnome rogues,
yeah,
is where I go. So I wanted to break away from that at least a little. I was thinking about playing some kind of, I don't know what background would go with this, but some kind of large, impressive creature. Very physical and intimidating looking, but yet the character is still based mostly on skills and talking his way. Like, people will feel intimidated, but he's not the kind of character that's actually going to rough anyone up as his first choice. He's going to be a not sneak around as in be unseen, but be duplicitous and kind of get an advantage and work with his brains and his subtlety more than his brawn, and take advantage of the fact that he looks tough.
It's almost like an ogre bard.
I get.
Oh, well, there's also ruffian rogue.
Could be, yes.
And there's a lot of feats in this edition where you can just rogue with your mean looks.
Great.
Cool.
Sounds like I should be playing some second edition. Good thing I'm here.
Oh, it's phenomenal. I have a lot of good opinions about it.
Any other character ideas? Ellie?
So I was like thinking about this, and so I like love playing Skyrim. Mm-hmm. That's like my favorite game. And so I always gravitate towards characters that are like really stealthy, yeah, and use like bows and arrows, like ranged weapons. And so I was like, should I try to build a character that's similar to that? Like someone who relies more on stealth and like sneaking around in the background, keeps distance, or should I go like completely opposite? And then I was like, it'd be kind of fun to see what everyone else is building and do something like different, so we have variety. And I would be happy with like anything, really, was where I landed.
Well, I think I have to play the Queen of Wolves, right? I think that's like, sure, the point. I feel like I said that this, yeah, I think I have to play, yeah, the Queen of Wolves.
Yeah, you mind telling everyone who the Queen of Wolves,
yeah,
is?
Really, so quick? The Queen of Wolves is, nobody knows that she's an elf. And since this is a level one adventure, I'm scaling her down a little bit. So the Queen of Wolves was a squire in this noble order of elves. And it was kind of like a westernized elves. Like, they were very knightly and like they were very kind, and they went out and they did well. And their symbol was a wolf. And they were hunted down and just destroyed and just butchered, their clan was. and she escaped. And now she roams the wilds, looking after wolves and trying to care for people, but also just harming folks who do bad to the land. And her name is not something I'm willing to reveal. Nobody knows her race. They just know her as the Queen of Wolves. So she's kind of like a knight, a little bit like an elf knight, from a fallen house.
All right, and I know you jumped in on this rather short notice. So if you don't have a character idea, that's totally fine.
No, I've got stuff percolating. So mainly, I like the leshy, the little vegetable people.
Yeah,
and I've yet to play one. And one class that I've been shying away from is the alchemist. So right now I'm thinking I want to combine something I'm interested in and something I'm not interested in and see if I can make a cool character out of a leshy alchemist. The angle I'm going at right now is that a lot of alchemy and a lot of chemistry is, like plant byproducts. And so this is a leshy that is just playing out like stealing components from his neighbors and just like, oh, hey, here's my little mushroom dude. You know, if I crush you up, you would make like a really great mutagen component. So that's where I'm at right now, the mad scientist vegetable person.
Great. Well, one thing, just know that if other people have ideas that inspire you that and you suddenly decide, no, actually, I want to do this thing or that thing, and or as we're talking about, if you decide you want to have a different character concept from what you just proposed here, that's totally fine. And also don't feel like, oh, well, we already have a rogue. We can't have two rogues, please. Just play the rogue that you want to play. That's fine. You can have the same class. You can have, similar characters because it's your character. I mean, that's fine. That you can, there are multiple people who, happen to be into basketball, for example. It's not like in your friend group, there's only one person that can like basketball and only one person can like movies and stuff.
This is a strength of second edition too, is that it's so difficult to make the same character twice. Two different rogues are not going to play the same, right? You don't even need a cleric to heal you anymore. Anybody can be a primary healer if that's what you want to do with your character.
Can I go on a little side story?
Please.
Which has nothing to do with what we're doing here. So this totally reminds me of, have any of you heard of or remember the RPGA?
Yes,
I know of it, yes.
Right, so it was the old for conventions and other kind of organized play. It grew out. It was many different things, but basically it was the official D&D organized play for a long time. But for a long time, basically you had to have certain character classes in each group in order to run it. And so there was a great ad that they ran right around the start of third edition D&D. Where they were trying to get more people to come and play in the RPGA, where they were saying, all the choices you get, which wasn't always the case. You can come, you can do this, you can play that, and we won't make you play the cleric because no one wanted to play the cleric. So the headline on this ad was, we won't make you play the cleric. But there was an asterisk next to it. And at the bottom of the ad, it said, well, don't be stupid. Someone's got to play the cleric.
That's been a hang-up of mine and many groups for a long time, is nobody should be shoehorned into playing the cleric.
Right.
And I think second edition does a good job of kind of taking away the need to do that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the modern games, I think, are getting there, and Pathfinder certainly seems to be going further. Sui, from what I can see, goes even further down there, and I love it.
Meg, it sounded like you were going to say something about a previous campaign.
It was actually based on what Lauren said, like the two rogues, the rogue that I'm playing in another game is actually a big idiot. She's a huge gullible dum-dum. So she has zero skills. Like she's in the minus for perception and investigation and stuff like that. Yeah. And she doesn't really steal. She steals out of curiosity. So she goes into places to look at things and then puts them back and leaves.
That's fantastic.
So she's, it's a tabaxi. So she's like super curious, but
that
she's
sounds a like a tabaxi. Idiot.
Yeah. But a rogue normally wouldn't do that typically. So you could have two rogues and it's not going to end up being the same way.
Yeah. There's lots of ways, even if you somehow make the exact same build to role play two different characters, even though on paper. They're the exact same numbers and everything. So yeah, again, don't be afraid to change your ideas as you go along with what we're talking about. But let me get into what I'm, I guess, figuring out is the setting for the location, or for the adventure and whatnot. There's been a lot of talk even before the start of the episode and ideas percolating and stuff. So I think what I'm going to do, rather than try to come up with some kind of new setting or anything like that, I'm going to use the Pathfinder Age of Lost Omens setting because I happen to know it very well. And it's what the rules assume a lot, that that's the world of Pathfinder. It's a kind of big fantasy world that has pretty much every fantasy that you need. But in particular, we're going to have this set in a region known as the Land of the Lindorm Kings.
Ooh.
The Land of the Lindorm Kings is basically the fantasy Viking land. So it has Vikings and longhouses and magical fae around. So think, you know, real world Vikings meets, you know, the weird fantasy and stuff that is coming in from like The Witcher and other European and Eastern European kind of fantasy, rather than your traditional knights in shining armor and dragons and stuff. There are still big dangerous lizards out there, but they're called Linorms rather than dragons. They are like long serpenty dragons rather than your typical winged dragons, but they're just as dangerous. And there are holds of civilization throughout the tundra and stuff. And in particular, we're gonna have this play out in a city called Karlsgard, which is the basically largest city in the entire region. It's a big, I guess, for a Viking city, a big metropolitan region. It's got 70,000 odd people living in it. So it's a big city where you can kind of have any kind of typical adventure. And it's going to be cold because it's, you know, up north. It's up in the far north and there are Vikings around. And but there's still other fantasy elements. There are still wizards, there are still clerics and all that stuff. They just happen to wear furs and leathers and stuff like that. They don't necessarily look like your typical wizard in a robe and hat, or your typical cleric with just, you know, their vestments. They're braced to survive in the harshes of the Lands of the Lindorm Kings. So my idea was that the Queen of Wolves thing that we kind of role played for about 3 minutes in our first episode kind of ended with the Queen of Wolves chasing after some the whereabouts of a group that I just randomly decided to call the Daggerfall Merchants. And I guess that's what I'm going to keep to maintain continuity because I'm a stickler for that.
I guess.
That was great. So most likely what's happened is the Queen of Wolves has arrived in Karlsgard and is looking for what is essentially a corrupt merchant's guild and is looking for help. And maybe she's recruited you, maybe you are all allies and know each other from before and have gotten back together. Who knows? But understand that you're going to be in an urban environment. You're probably going to be going around in the city rather than in the wilds, at least for this adventure. Unless enough of you say, hey, no, I'd like to go out into nature. That's kind of the point of a session zero, is to figure out what we're going to play, but also what everyone else wants to show up in the game. If you want to go out into the wild because you decided, I want to be a ranger and I want to go, you know, track down animals or track people through the forest and the wilderness, I can make that work. I haven't like written an adventure or anything. I'm not using any kind of pre-written adventure. I'm going to figure out what ideas you put forth, and we're kind of going back and forth and coming up with hopefully a cool little adventure where maybe you take down some bad guys and meet and go do some cool stuff. I feel like an orc barbarian probably fits very well among all the rough and tumble Vikings. I mean, the Queen of Wolves is obviously there. A leshy probably can originate from the nearby wilds where there's lots of magic going on. There are witches that live out there. There's fae doing stuff out there. So a plant coming to life and becoming an adventurer doesn't sound so out there for me.
I'm going to be a spruce leshy.
There you go.
I was trying to figure out what kind of leshy. I was like, could you just be like a little pine tree just like walking around?
Yeah, like a little pine cone dude.
Yeah. Like you could be a pine cone. That's great.
The minute he said that, I was thinking that, oh, you could be like an herb that grew in some Witch in the Woods garden and said, you know what? Screw this. I'm out of here. Out of the jump up out of the garden and go walking up. I'm gonna have adventures on my own.
Yeah, I'm not gonna
Hey, my name's Oregano.
I'm gonna lie, the moment you said like a little pine cone dude, I imagine like Christmas ornaments. Ooh. So I'm just gonna picture like a Christmas ornament walking and doing
stuff. You should wear like a little like metal cap. That makes you kind of look like an ornament.
And I was thinking like a tinsel utility belt.
Yeah.
And then, Eleanor, you mentioned Skyrim as an inspiration for this. This is very Skyrim. This is very, you know, it's Frosty North. There are people dressed like Vikings and like, so whatever. I think if you want to pull Skyrim inspirations, I think it'll fit very well among the region.
Awesome.
You think we can spend a little time talking about Eleanor's character? Because Eleanor, it seemed like you had the broadest idea for which direction you wanted to go with your character.
Yes. I would say that's accurate. Yeah.
All right. Well, you said stealth, so that immediately tells me rogue. Is that, if I say rogue, do you know what I'm talking about?
Like, kind of. I'm guessing it means like a stealthy character.
Well, rogue,
my context clues,
ranger, really any class that you put stealth into these days, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. So yeah, the rogue is basically the typical thief class in other games and stuff like that. So that's probably the best analog. Whereas the game also includes the typical mage, which is your wizard, and typical warrior, which is your fighter in this game. But if you're looking to stealth, like Lauren said, you can do that with a number of classes. Rogue is very obviously the one that comes to mind because they are very focused on sneaking around and you know, picking locks and stuff like that. But if you want to go into archery, maybe the ranger is the way to go because they can also sneak around just like anyone else, but they can have a focus on fighting with bows and the like. And in particular, rangers are good at tracking down their particular enemies and getting around in the wilds and stuff. So that might be the way to go. Or if you just want to be the best at archery forever and happen to sneak around, there might be a way to do that with the fighter class where you focus on your bow and then make stealth an extra thing that you happen to be.
That's
able
my
to
Super
do.
Smash Fighter character is a fighter with the bow. And it's just crits for days. Everybody gets a crit.
So I know you said that the rogue is like a thief, but I think it's better to say a rogue's like an assassin because you don't have to do any stealing.
That's true.
But you are creeping up on people and stabbing them where they're most vulnerable.
That's fair.
Oh, well, that does sound like me. So,
and as a veteran Skyrim player, I'm sure you're very familiar with the stealth archer playstyle because that's what we all do in Skyrim, whether we want to or not.
Yep. I've tried to make other characters that are like mages and I just automatically like revert back to like, all right, I'm just gonna shoot this one guy.
It's so satisfying.
Yeah.
I stopped playing Skyrim when I maxed out my stealth because it was like, well, I won.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have an idea for like a personality for your character, Eleanor?
Well, so if I'm going like rogue, I kind of like the idea of someone who's like they take themselves like very, very seriously, even if other people like don't like rolling around everywhere, but like dead serious, like, all right guys, follow me. But I'm kind of feeling rogue because of like lock picking. I feel like if we're in an urban setting, that'd be like pretty useful.
Anybody can do that in this edition.
Okay. Yeah,
but if you want to do that, please, rogue is great for that.
Yeah.
But here's a little secret. What's going to happen is you are all going to say, I want to do this with my character. I think this is going to be fun. And then I'm going to just add it into the adventure so you can all try to do the fun thing you're looking to do.
I want to fight Godzilla.
Great. You're going to fight some Viking named Godzilla.
Oh, clever. Eleanor, you said that you take yourself super seriously, even if other people don't. Do you want to lean into making a character that no one should be taking seriously?
Yes, absolutely.
Goblin, 100%. Maybe?
Oh, a goblin. I was thinking a gnome. But
yeah,
I'm
I was thinking of gnomes.
Gnome's good,
but
too.
I always think gnome.
what do we call the gnomes who lost all their color?
Bleachling.
No one takes gnomes seriously.
Bleachlings.
Bleachling.
What was that, so, Stan?
I said no one takes gnomes seriously.
Yeah.
They're tiny and adorable.
So
in your pocket.
So dude, no
one could carry you around.
they'll kick your butt if they can reach it.
Yeah, but I'm an orc and I love little things, so I could carry you around.
Oh, I like the idea. Yeah, you're in his. She's in your jacket. And hold on. Like, just pull her out and stab somebody.
Wait, but San mentioned that he didn't want to play a gnome this time. He's trying to break free of that.
No, well, but this, Eleanor. This
Eleanor. That's true.
I'll be like in your pocket and be like, throw me. Just throw me at him.
I'm actually like, I'm sort of DMing a game because all my friends have never played and they're like, oh, you've played like 5 games, so you could be the DM. Is that
about right? Puzzled veteran.
That's how it happened.
And my boyfriend is playing a halfling fighter that's mostly ranged, and he's playing with his friend who's a dragonborn, and their kind of like relationship is that he's thrown everywhere. So it's like, just throw me. So that could be essentially
that's so
it.
Fun.
Yeah. Like, go kill them.
I got my dagger. I'm like flying through the air.
Oh, now I want to draw all this. Oh my god.
No one's stopping you, Stan.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with why you're here, Stan.
You can do my art on the show. That'd be great.
If you want me to stop thinking about myself at all, I'll start drawing. I'm going to pick it up right here. And
so, all right. So Eleanor sounds like you're leaning maybe towards a rogue that can do sneaky stuff and totally hide in the darkness and be, you know, I'm the dark rogue. Whether or not anyone cares about the broodiness. And Meg, you mentioned orc barbarian. Luckily for you, you can play an orc in this game and you can play a barbarian in this game, so you can just smash those two together easy enough. Stan, you mentioned trying to break free of your small rogue mentality and maybe be a big rogue potentially, or a big something else. One thing I was thinking, you mentioned trying to use your wits more so than, you know, your intimidating appearance, which... it might be intimidating whether or not you're trying to be. There is a specific style of rogue you can play called the mastermind that focuses on intelligence.
Oh, I love a mastermind.
That is all about being able to kind of figure out an enemy's weakness and exploit that to take them down. And you can be clever and sly, but if you don't want to be a rogue, you know, that's totally fine. There's also the... surprisingly enough, the ranger has the ability to kind of focus on a target on their they hunt a prey, if you will, and they can use that to learn more about their enemies as well and kind of focus one-on-one with their enemies. And you know, there's also just other classes that happen to be pretty good at being smart and skillful and resourceful. Bards are smart and have access to lots of skills. There's also a class called the investigator, which, by the way, hey, that's all about investigating and learning stuff, which, and they kind of do the same, a similar thing to the mastermind rogue, where they can use their knowledge to learn about the weaknesses of their enemies, stuff like that. So if any of that sounds good to you, you can maybe lean towards that, or you can just happen to be a character that has a decent intelligence and a high skill, a number of skills as well, without having to make it the central part of your character.
So tell me more about this mastermind.
Mastermind. So when you think of a typical rogue in D&D and Pathfinder, you imagine, okay, someone needs to flank with me so I can sneak attack and get all the extra cool damage as I take this person out. And you still sneak attack, you're still a rogue, but rather than rely on flanks and stuff like that, what you can do is basically look over your enemy, take a moment to recall some knowledge about them and spin up in your mind, where are they most weak? And as soon as you realize that, you can just kind of sneak attack on your own and take advantage of that. And also you will have way too many skills if you decide to go a mastermind rogue, because, you know, of course, like the games you're probably used to, once you have a high intelligence, you get more skills, and rogues get a lot of skills by default, and you will get a lot more skills by being a high intelligence rogue. So I think if you play your cards right, you can literally get trained in every single skill in the game.
Wow.
at first level.
What?
Yeah,
I've done it. So Mastermind is so much fun. My favorite kind of rogue is the crime boss rogue. That's the rogue I like.
A glitch in the matrix.
It's just a very, very smart person ready for anything. And at that point, you know, you can play whatever you want. You can be a human, you can be a dwarf, you can be an elf. If you want, you could be a halfling or a gnome, but it would still be kind of an atypical rogue compared to the sneaking around type, because you're using your knowledge and your wits rather than your guile or your agility and dexterity to sneak around and stuff like that.
If you're tiny, I can carry you too.
No, I think I'm going to be big. I'm going to be big this time.
Going to be the group's menagerie.
You two could be siblings. You could both be orcs. I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things to do with other players, is be like tied to them somehow.
But I defected though. I don't think that's going to be very, very highly looked upon.
You all could have defected together.
But you know what? He's smart. So everyone else might be taking it emotionally that you left, but he's like, I get it.
Yeah.
talking about
what other, do we have any other big, I know it's not races anymore.
We call them ancestries. Yeah.
Is there like Goliath?
There's no Goliath in this one. There's nothing that lets you be a large character. But there are still like big tough, like, you know, like the orcs are tough. Dwarves are
hobgoblin.
There's hobgoblin. You can play as a hobgoblin.
I love hobgoblin. Lizard folks can be pretty beefy.
I like hobgoblin.
I do too.
Hobgoblins are pretty cool.
I've never played a hobgoblin, but I like. Yeah. Yes. This ties in with something else I've been thinking about, which I'm not going to mention.
Great.
Yeah, I've got an NDA with myself.
So hobgoblins are the tall cousins of regular goblins that you're most used to. They're kind of tall and lanky, but they're militaristic and very clever and strategic. So I think that works out perfectly. We have a Leshy, we have an orc, we have an elf. I guess now let's get back to Eleanor and put you on the spot and be like, well, what are you going to play then? Let me tell you the different things you have available, and you know, you can work from there. The core rules of the game have a lot of the typical fantasy you expect. So there are dwarves, there are elves, there are humans, and then there are halflings. And I guess, how much experience do you have with anything beyond the dwarves and elves and humans? Like we call halflings, which a lot of people might know, that resemble hobbits and stuff like that.
Okay, cool.
Except the Tolkien estate, the state won't let you say that.
Yes, yeah. That's why I said they resemble, but are legally distinct from hobbits. there are gnomes who are their small ancestry. They have ties to magic, so they can channel magic easily. They come from a realm known as the First World, which is the land of fae and you know, pixies and sprites and all these other fantastical creatures.
They're also known for their attention spans. They either have none or they are super focused on one thing.
That's awesome.
And the other core ancestry is goblin, which are, you know, the kind of mean little buggers that a lot of people are used to beating up in other games, but you know, we let you play as them, and they're part of your core available package for stuff. So there's that, but then there's also, if you want to go beyond the realm of the typical within the core rules, there's, you know, cat folk, which are big cats that you can play as, and lizard folk, and there's orcs, which Meg is playing. You can be half orc or half elf if you don't want to commit fully to that. There's rat folk, and then there's lots of other weird things. So,
and each of these you can apply tiefling or Asimar to, as well as a few other things as well.
That's not self-explanatory, Lauren. And you have thrown the ball in your lap. It's like,
okay.
He just explained what a halfling is, and you're like, or you could be a tiefling.
I forgot. Okay, so a tiefling means you have devil blood. And you're not a devil, but you have devil blood. And Asimar is the opposite of that. You have angelic blood. And you can put You can slap that onto any race you want.
I want to be a devil-blooded gnome.
Great. I love that.
Eleanor. I didn't know Pathfinder let you apply
teeth. You're awesome.
So,
that's why we wanted to bring you into second edition. Things are better here.
Yeah, unlike 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons, where Asimar is its own thing that you would play as, or Tiefling is something. We've taken all of those ideas where it's like, oh, you might have fiendish heritage or celestial heritage, or you might have elemental heritage, you know, you have ties to the elemental plane of fire, or stuff like that. And rather than say that's its own thing, it kind of makes more sense when you realize, oh, maybe dwarves can also have that, and elves can have that, and anyone else that you can play as can have. So you could be an orc that is also a tiefling and have fiendish connections, or an Asimar that can have celestial connections, or you know, pick an element and there's a way to apply that. It makes things slightly more complicated, just a very tiny bit at character creation, not by much though, and then gives you the potential for a lot more interesting flavor. If you want to lean into that, you could just say, hey, I happen to have fiendish blood and it made me grow horns and tail, and that's all I really care about because I wanted it to look cool like that. But you know, you can decide to focus more on your orc heritage and get more orc stuff, or decide, oh, I'm an Asimar, I'm going to get more cool spells that let me heal people and stuff like that, and focus on my celestial influence instead. So
that's kind of the strength of second edition, and we're just showing you this now in the ancestry side, but this is throughout the entire edition, is that things are broken down into little Legos that you can use to build your character however you want to.
That's what I told Ryan. I feel, because I come from a 5e background, and I feel like Pathfinder would be kind of like do it yourself.
Yeah.
Like a DIY version of RPG.
Yeah.
Where you want to be something, that's fine. Just be it. It's okay.
It's very much a buffet of options, and you kind of put everything on your plate for what kind of character you want.
Exactly. And I'm always torn doing character creation because I'm like, I want to be everything.
Just run the campaign by yourself. You're the GM, you're all the players.
So
I do everything.
So, Eleanor, what makes you want to be a devilish gnome?
Oh, you know.
Just leaning into that darkness thing.
Yeah, I think there's room for some mischief there, but also, like, you know, the hyper-focus or no focus at all. Feels like I got the devil in me. I don't know.
The devil's in the details, as they
say. Yes.
It also goes with your idea of you take yourself really seriously and no one else does, because you're like, I'm the son of a devil. And we're like, yeah, you are.
You're so huge.
You're like a little Valentine's Day devil, you know? You're very cute with your little horns and your little tail. Oh.
Your eyebrows you get, out
you
to
angry
here.
Bite.
Yeah. Just
no.
Yeah, great. I love all of that. It's I think a really fun group that you know what? This is how things happen in Pathfinder, I feel, is there's the core rules that say, you can be an elf wizard and a human fighter and a dwarf barbarian, and then immediately people realize, oh, but I can play as a plant. And then I can have fiery blood running through me, and oh, I can be a cat or a big raven or whatever. And it just kind of spins out into everyone having fun.
Devil plant who does Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde things with alchemy. You do whatever you want to do.
Ryan's going to be a devil Christmas ornament.
Oh, does everyone just want to be a tiefling?
We're all
I have
family of devils.
I have a running challenge on the show that I issued. I think it was last episode, where I'm seeing if anyone can send me a concept that we can't make in Pathfinder Second Edition. I know of one that can't be made in Second Edition, but I'm not going to tell anyone what it is.
Specifically, I thought the challenge was give you a character concept and then somehow make it into a Viking as well.
Oh, that too. Yeah, both. I remember. I don't remember. I issue a lot of challenges. Nobody takes me up on them.
No, somebody took you up on the, I think they were saying an investigator Viking.
Okay. That's difficult, but it is doable.
And, the ancestry guy just introduced Android. Viking. I would like to know your Android Viking.
Oh, okay. Are we doing it here or are we doing it?
No, no, just keep it in mind.
Yeah, keep it in mind.
Okay. I got it. I got something for the investigator. I already figured it out. I know the whole thing.
We have character concepts. We have our Leshy Akamis. We have our what class was the Queen of Wolves?
Well, I'm trying. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, especially in second edition. There's a lot of builds I could go with. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to default on fighter.
Okay.
But I also really like the idea of going ranger because she is supposed to be very good at surviving in the woods, very good with animals. So if I do ranger, it will be a taking heavy weapon proficiency and being like a full plate ranger.
Ryan, we got a Leshy Akamis. Lauren is ranger, fighter, elf.
Probably ranger, probably full plate ranger.
Rangerish elf. Stan is looking to be a hobgoblin rogue mastermind. Meg is looking to be an orc barbarian. And Eleanor is looking to be our tiefling gnome rogue. great. Well, the thing is, as...
Please call yourself Saint Abby so that your name can be Stabby.
Wait, can I just be Stabby? I mean, that's amazing.
That's great, too.
Yeah, it saves a lot of time.
Stabby the gnome.
Stabby!
These are all cool characters, but what I'm wondering is, how did you all come together? How do you all know each other? There was a potential idea that maybe Meg and Stan's character kind of ran off together when Meg's character decided, I'm out of this orc business. Let's go somewhere else. I'm curious. You know, maybe you fought together, maybe you adventured together, or if you all want, you can do the typical thing where you happen to get thrown into a circumstance together because you happen to be in the same bar at the same time.
Well, you do have a preference for tiny little things.
Oh, that's true. I was like, you do? But yeah, of course, you were talking about the birds and birds and the bees, if you like.
I just pick up strays on the street on my way back from work.
Stray gnomes, stray Leshy plant people.
Yeah, the four of you already feel like such a group that knows each other, like we've worked together. Like you guys feel like such a like an upstart mercenary company, you know? I could easily see the Queen of Wolves coming in and like trying to get some help taking out these corrupt merchants, and you guys are like, we've been on their tail for a month now.
We've been looking for them. We have an act and everything. We've been on the road.
Well, I like the idea that, like, so Stabby doesn't like being condescended to, but what's your orc's name?
Please pick me up and throw me.
Meg?
I'm sorry?
What's your orc's name again? If you even got it.
Devi.
Devi. So Devi likes little things. So I like the idea that I'm the little thing that is totally okay with you thinking I'm adorable. As like a contrast to Stabby just needing to be taken seriously.
And what's funny about it is you're like a pinecone person, so you're not adorable. But Stabby is super adorable.
Put some googly eyes on a pinecone. Tell me that's not adorable.
Oh my God, please wear googly eyes.
I'm doing that for sure.
It's so Ryan, you're wearing googly eyes.
Absolutely. I'm just going to show up to the one shot with miniature. Like, pine cone with googly eyes on my shoulder.
Yeah.
This entire game.
So then I can also see myself connected to Stabby in that, like, I will just brew up a weird potion and I'll be like, try this.
Okay.
There we go.
Stabby fears nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, with that devil blood, maybe you're allegedly more resistant to some of this stuff. I don't know. As long as you think that and are more willing to drink the stuff.
You could also brew poisons for Stabby.
That's true.
For her to drink?
No.
For the stabbing. I feel like I would be brewing the poisons for my mastermind.
Is the Leshy the core of this group? That everyone's connection is through this Leshy now?
Apparently.
Yeah, I think that works.
Sure.
Oh, I took all the attention again.
Well, you guys are going to have to come up with a name for your little group that I can find.
Yeah.
Stabby's group.
I could see it on a t-shirt.
The worst,
I was actually going to say Stabby's going to be like, it's my group.
It's Stabby's world. You're all just living in it.
It's not even like Stabby and the Sword.
The city that we're going to be starting in.
Oh, yeah. Kalsgaard.
Yeah.
We also have to figure out, Stan, your role in that group too, because we know that Ryan and Eleanor are going to be the cute ones have something like a little bit of a weakness for and trying to protect. Ryan is going to try to drug Eleanor all the time, and Eleanor is going to brag about her toughness.
I'm not trying to drug her. I'm trying to test how well my potions are working.
Just so happens that it drugs her. Well, let's see. Let me hear a little bit about the where we're based out of and see if that helps me pull something together.
Sure. Kalsgaard is the trading capital in the land of the Lunarm Kings. It's the largest and oldest surviving settlement. So it's a bustling city. Sit along a river, the Rhineflow River, and it's... I guess, how do I describe... Let me tell you real quick about the land of the Lindor Kings. It's got lots of large settlements, and you can kind of claim any region as your own and be the ruler of that region if you are able to earn your right as a Lindor King. And to do that, you have to one-on-one go solo a Lindorm, one of those big scary dragon lizard things I was telling you about, and take it out and prove yourself and earn your spot. And these things are really tough. They're like, if you were to send an entire squad of Vikings, they're probably going to get wiped out. The fact that you have to do it solo means that you have proved your worth as a warrior. Kalsgaard was the home of the most recently retired Lindorm King, who decided to sail across the sea and visit the afterlife when he reached his old age. So it's a storied settlement. The new Lindorm King of the area is his daughter, King Thera Asheyes. And this place is the most open, most kind of cosmopolitan area in the entire land of the Lindorm Kings. It's got people trading in from other regions, other nations as well, and it's kind of the gateway to the oceans to the west that lead to the other continents and lands in the world, but also has to deal with occasionally trolls and frost giants and stuff kind of showing up and attacking. But it's a place where warriors and great seers and mages live as well, to that can keep that place defended.
How did the Lindorms feel about the whole situation with slay them to become a king?
Anyone who wants to do it is in the right mindset that they're not going to complain about the whole tradition. And typically, if they succeed, then they're happy because they've done it. They become a Lindorm King. And if anyone has any complaints about the whole tradition while they're doing it, they tend to die. And then who cares? No one hears what they have to say anyway. There's been some shakeups of tradition with the Lindorm King things as of a couple decades ago. But for the most part, I think people are so steeped in the tradition, no one even questions it. No one cares about it. The only thing people care is about upholding your honor and maintaining the rules of the whole becoming a Lindorm King. And if you've managed to uphold honor and uphold tradition, a lot of people will get behind you and support you, because one, you're strong enough to take out an entire dragon on your own. So who's going to question that? And two, then that you at least have that in your mind and in your heart and prove that you're willing to listen to tradition and maintain that, which probably puts you forth as a at least reasonable leader that is willing to uphold the values of the people of the lands of the Lindorm Kings.
All right. Well, so I think that I'm already running into the, damn it, I need to think of a name for this guy. I think that he's I am looking to find someone that seems to be an up-and-coming group that's going to be important. So just to be the mastermind, the brains behind it, without ever having to step out front and be the one that's actually important. So I think that joining this group probably was a matter of seeing, looking at you guys and going, these guys have potential. They look like they could do some real damage and make a name for themselves. I think I want to put that in my back pocket.
I could use them.
I could use that.
That's good.
Well, I like everything that we've put together here. Stabby's group is sounding like a notable adventuring group that might just be the kind to get into a run-in with some corrupt merchants and maybe cross paths with the Queen of Wolves. And depending on what Brian ends up doing for his character, probably have a...
She shows up with like a human paladin and screws everything up.
We'll make him listen to this episode.
As Stan's saying, there's a lot of potential here. I think I have all the questions answered that I need in terms of like where we're going, what your group looks like, and how I can kind of get you started on an adventure. We're obviously not going to sit down and make the characters just this moment because that's takes a while, and there's a lot of a lot of minutia to deal with. So rather than bore everyone, as we tend to that, like I said, we'll probably reach out and get that sorted out. But unless you have any other questions, I say I'm ready to run the adventure for next time, or at least come up with the adventure and then run.
Yeah, what questions do we have?
Awesome. You know what I have? Is the screen sharing open?
Sure. Good, I think Ryan good. Can do that.
Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, no, I can't because I'm not the host anymore. Laura is.
I can do this?
Oh, there we go.
So good. I love it.
There you go. Eleanor, I'll have you know, it's not very often that you've never played a game in an RPG and managed to get character art before you've even played your first session.
Stabby.
I was wondering what you were doing, Stan. I saw you like writing or something, and I thought you were doing like those diagrams about how to build your character. I was like, whoa, he's invested. Not quite.
Nope, just doodling.
That's great. And you whipped it out in less than an hour, like 20 minutes.
Color and everything.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That was very good.
I'm not that good, but I'm quick.
You are good.
Yeah, but you know, it's also, but I play it down. Play it down.
Yeah.
I'm not that good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm real good. No, I'm not that good. I'm not that good.
Like to keep getting compliments. No, I'm not that good. Oh, yes, you're amazing. That's not
that mastermind at work. Look at him go.
Exactly. I'm really excited to play now.
Well, I'll have Ryan put us in contact with each of you so we can go over the details and get the characters fleshed out as it can be. Make sure you're happy with it.
If you want to come up with more background for your character and send it over, that's great. If you don't have more background for your character and you just want to be Stabby, the tiefling rogue that's going around stabbing and getting into trouble, that's fine too. Know that as long as you have an idea of what your character's personality and what they would do, even if you're figuring that out along the way, that's totally fine. You don't have to have come up with a full novel to tell me who your character is before you start playing. I know a lot of people are concerned about that sometimes. Like, oh, I don't have my full backstory. It's figure out who you are as you're playing, and that's fine too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, if you've got in your head an idea of in what your character is likely to do in a tough situation, then the rest you roll with it.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Well, Ryan, do an outro for us,
and we're done. Bye, everybody.